Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. It is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Tuesday, April 7th. My name is Jason Shepherd. This is someone who's still waiting for his Fox and Friends invite, Blaine Fowler.
Never going to come. But hey, how about Delanie Gibb?
Yeah.
Makes an appearance on Fox and Friends this morning and talks about why BYU basketball doesn't practice on Sundays and what it means to honor her faith. How cool was that?
Very cool. I was not aware that she was going to be on Fox and Friends this morning, but then we had, it's actually a BYU grad who works at Fox and had put it out on social media. And so, and it actually, this is kind of back-to-back social media posts that have gone viral a little over a week ago in Wichita. Both Delanie Gibb and Brinley Cannon did some media prior to the start of the WBIT, and they were asked, because the conference was actually on Sunday, they were asked, well, you guys had the ability to be able to practice today, but you guys chose not to do that. Why is that? And it was really cool. Essentially, both players able to bear their testimonies. And I happened to be in that room when that was going on. And the coolest part about that, beyond what both players were saying, was watching the reaction for people in the room. And you had like the ESPN broadcasters that were in there, and then a couple of other media people that were there, and watching them kind of shake their heads in agreement and kind of understanding what goes into BYU's decision to not do things on Sunday. So it was a really cool moment. So it's fun that that moment has now been picked up to something even more national going on Fox News this morning, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's exposure for BYU, but isn't that what BYU Athletics is all about?
Yeah.
To send a message to the world. So very cool and great opportunity for Delanie. And she wears those opportunities well, doesn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, great example. Both her and Brinley with their comments a little over a week ago in Wichita. Certainly they represent BYU very, very well. All right, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Robert right to third, right to the hoop.
I think that half the roster will be turned over.
The top three things I would say is size, shooting, athleticism.
Another alley-oop finish from Dominique Diomande.
There's options out there available for BYU.
I know that the information has been out there for a really long time that so-and-so is jumping in the transfer portal, but all of this was prior to it actually opening. But now the transfer portal opening today in men's college basketball. There are already more than 1,000 players in the portal in the 12 hours that it's been open, including one BYU player. We found out last night, according to his social media, that BYU big man Xavion Staten is putting his name into the transfer portal. Again, first one of one that we probably expect a couple more to put their names in. Exactly who that will be, I guess, remains to be seen. But what was your initial reaction when you saw Xavion putting his name in the portal?
I was a little surprised because I felt like he was a development project with size and athleticism that they wanted to put more weight on. But in college basketball these days, nobody's patient anymore on either side of it, whether it's the university or whether it's the player. It's like, hey, if I'm not in the plans right now, I'm out. And sometimes for these programs, it's like, no, we have to win right now, so we don't have time to develop. And I don't know which side of that this came on. I was actually more surprised that we didn't see more already in the portal from BYU. When you look at his numbers coming in, he was a big-time recruit with that length and ability to run the floor. Played in just 9 games, averaged 4.8 minutes a game, 5 points, 4 boards, and 5 blocks. And so he was one of the big, you know, gets in that recruiting class and didn't really contribute a lot as a freshman this last year. So I guess I'm a little surprised because I thought maybe there'd be a little more patience on both sides with him. But I'm never surprised by the portal anymore. And I'm more surprised that there's not more guys already in the portal for BYU.
Yeah, and I would certainly expect there to be more, whether it's today or in the coming days. I think we all anticipate that there will be more names entered into the portal. As it pertains to Xavion, obviously he dealt with the injuries, and eventually they just kind of had to make that decision to go ahead and shut him down. It just wasn't going to be in his best interest to try and push through it. I wish we had been able to see more from him, because everything about him in terms of his measurables. And you got to, if memory serves, I believe he was actually the highest recruit BYU had ever signed until AJ signed.
Right.
So, I mean, that was a really big deal when BYU got him. And again, you look at the measurables, his height, his athleticism, his ability to score, obviously what he can do defensively. The idea of what he could bring, BYU just never got an opportunity to see what that looked like. And, you know, look, the other part about this is just because names are in the portal doesn't mean that they are officially going to leave. Now, you assume that they probably will once the name is in there, but you never know in these things because so much of all of these situations are fluid. Beyond anything Xavion did, because I mean, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 5 blocks, he played in 9 games, as you mentioned, averaging about 5. So besides anything he did or didn't do on the floor, I think the thing I'm going to miss the most is him as a person.
Yeah.
He is a super nice guy. And I run into him a lot over in the annex, and he's always got a smile on his face. He'll always come up and say hi, ask how I'm doing. He's just a really, really nice guy. Plus, I would tell him this, it always was funny to me. Obviously, at his size, he's going to stand out anyway. Mm-hmm. But you can see him on campus on his scooter, rolling around campus with his backpack on, going to school. And it just stood out, and it was always comical to me. I always got a smile on my face, but he was just such a nice guy and really a good fit for BYU. And so it's kind of sad to see that he's probably going to move on. But like you said, this is kind of what college basketball is all about. And sometimes players leave on their own. Sometimes players are nudged to leave in terms of what the situation is specifically with Xavion. We don't know. But I certainly would have liked to have seen more from him this year and maybe see if he could give it another shot to the upcoming season.
That's why I was surprised he was the first one in the portal, and I was a little surprised by him because there was so little opportunity because of his injuries to evaluate what he could be, right?
Yeah.
But coming out of high school, there was so much potential here as a shot blocker, a rim protector. The obvious was, hey, he needs to put on a little bit of weight. He needs to get a little bit stronger. But his skill set wasn't questioned. He's got good hands. I love the way he could run the floor. And without having a chance to really evaluate that last year, we're, you know, even if you redshirt, but you're in practice all year long, but the injuries shut him down. And so I thought, oh, you know what? Maybe we rerun that with him and see what that potential is. But in today's game, football, basketball, there's not a lot of patience on either side.
Well, the other part about this, too, is, I mean, and we've talked about this a lot, Coach Young mentioned specifically the shooting part, but there were two things that we've kind of zoomed in on as the two biggest needs for this team. It's shooting and it's size. Yeah. And obviously with Xavion, there's the size. And so if he's not on this roster next year, that's one less player with size on this roster. And so it actually sort of magnifies the need for more size on this roster.
Yeah, and so that brings up this next topic, and that is it more important for BYU to retain players as the portal opens, or to add new players through the portal? Now, you just mentioned with him in the portal, that brings they've got to find an additional big now if he's not going to be here. What's the priority right now? Retaining your own guys or going out and adding new players? And as we take a look, here's the guys that we know have eligibility remaining. We take a look at that. Rob Wright III is kind of indicated, all indications are, hey, he's coming back, right? Kostic, Kennard Davis, those are the guards that have eligibility remaining. Forwards, Kareem Amboup, and then Brody Kozlowski, who, by the way, sorely missed this last year with that injury that shut him down before any opportunity to contribute. Ahmed is back at center, or could be back at center. I also should, on the guard side, Dawson Baker, Nate Pickens, KJ Perry all have eligibility. Losing Dawson Baker to me before the Richie Saunders injury was the biggest issue for BYU and their potential this year to make a run in the NCAA tournament. And I just talked to him a couple weeks ago at a women's game. He says, progress is going great. His plan is to be back here and to have a major contribution this next year. So if that hasn't changed in the last couple of weeks, that's Dawson's plan. And you know, you've got to keep a guy like Dawson Baker, not just for his ability to do this, to score, to shoot the basketball like we see here. They miss that, his ability to hit open jumpers. But also, if you push up on him, puts the ball on the floor and goes by you. You got to keep a guy like him,
yeah.
if he's healthy, especially. We never really got to see Nate Pickens, you know.
Yeah, he got hurt before the season even started.
So when you look at that, who's potentially coming back, and the ones that aren't listed there, obviously are the ones that don't have any eligibility yeah. left. What's more important to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite sure how to answer this because I feel like it's almost on a case-by-case basis. I think if I had to lean one direction, I think it probably would be to add new players. And I say that only because of that list that we just had up on the screen. Even with Xavion putting his name in the portal, I still expect three or four more of those guys that we just saw on the screen to probably enter the portal as well. So I think you're probably looking at replacing three or four more guys. So I think that's probably where I would lean because, like you, I do expect Rob Wright to come back. And I thought it was a very positive sign that Coach Young, after the season was over, mentioned how this team, they want to kind of build around Rob. I don't think you're doing that if you're expecting him to leave. So I think that's a good sign. You know, in terms of specifics, you know, there's just no way of knowing specifically who's going to go. But I just think from a statistical standpoint, you're probably looking at another three or four players. Let's not forget, you've also got you've got a big-time recruit coming in. We still can't mention his name because it's not officially on, you know, part of BYU. But everybody knows who we're talking about. That player is coming in. So I think knowing or expecting more to go, being able to bring guys in that fit in with what you expect this roster and its strengths this season to be, to me, I think that's probably, if I had to lean one way or the other, that's where I would lean.
Yeah, and you mentioned the big-time recruit that's coming in. No question, he's a star as a freshman, mm-hmm. right? He's a potential one and done. So what goes best with Rob Wright, with Dawson Baker, with the guys that are kind of like, okay, this is the core, what goes best? This is the time of year, these last couple weeks, is when every coaching staff in the country sits down with every player and says, this is where we see you next season. This is how you fit in. This is what our plan is for you. What do you see? And they go, well, man, I didn't see myself in a supporting role. I saw myself as a starter. Well, that's not how we see you. So if this is going to be not a good thing for you, then maybe you should get in the portal. And if you're in the portal, we're going to really support you in the portal, and we're going to help you find a good place where you do fit in. So if your expectations are different than ours, then a lot of times these players that go in the portal, it's a mutual agreement. It's typically not a surprise to the coaching staff. What? You're in the portal? No, these have come after discussions, and typically when somebody goes, it's because in those discussions, there's not alignment on exactly what that player's role is going to be the next season. So a lot of them are, you probably should go into
right.
the portal.
Well, but look at what, this will be year three under Coach Young, and look at what this offense, or I guess not necessarily the offense, but just the scheme in general, looked like year one with that personnel. And then in year two with a different type of personnel, bringing in a guy like AJ and having Rob here, you know, the scheme changed, or maybe you tweak your overall scheme to be able to match your personnel. I think you're going to see that again. This offense and this defense is not going to look the exact same this upcoming season that it did last year because your personnel is going to be different. Plus, I also think, to go back to the conversation about the bigs, you know, I think BYU is going to look for more of an offensive big than they've had over the last 3 years.
Yeah, I agree. And Kevin Young's already stated, hey, we gotta find some size, and some skilled size,
right.
as you say, and shooting. And you're you know what, every coach in America is looking for shooting in, in the portal, right? So, but he felt like that's an area they need to improve. So get some size, find some more shooting, figure out who meshes best with the newcomers that he knows are coming in and who he knows are going to stay, and then tailoring that offense. That's exactly what's got to happen here in this next couple of weeks.
Well, and look, I mean, the big question today is, you know, do we see any more BYU players put their name in the portal today? Because, I mean, it feels like it's only a matter of time for at least a couple more they're going to go into the portal.
I'd be surprised if we don't see at least one more in the portal today, and I'd be surprised if we don't see a couple more over the next couple of days.
All right, our question of the day. Is it more important for BYU men's basketball to retain players or add new players through the portal? That's what we're asking you. Our first response coming in from at Tater Coog says, Michigan and UConn just showed you need both. You need to retain your best and supplement around them. And I don't disagree with that at all. And I think that's kind of what you're looking at with Coach Young talking about wanting to make sure you bring back Rob Wright. And then you can build around him with the aforementioned five-star recruit and other guys that you're going to be going after in the portal.
It's a balance on what you need. Response number two comes from Russell Paulus. And Russell says, retain key players because continuity is crucial. But we need reliable bigs and shooters badly. That's what we just talked about.
Those are the two biggest needs.
If I can have only one, reliable bigs and shooters is the most important. So that effort of retaining your roster, that's already been done, right? So, like, if there's still questions, I'm surprised. Because these conversations have been had, and I think the staff has a really good idea who's going into the portal today or tomorrow or the next day and what their needs are to fill. They knew what they needed to make this team better, and now they already know who's going into that portal and how they need to fill those roles.
Our last response comes from at Kilroy Bobby. Says, I don't think a lot of guys earned their roster spot next year, so I say retain the few that did and bring in new competition. Most importantly, get more depth so that if injuries hit again, we are better suited to handle it than we were last year. You can continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and on Instagram.
Yeah, that's a good, every one of those points were good points. So our next topic, Shep, is the way too early top 25 polls for the 26-27 college basketball season.
Is it too early?
It is way too early.
You think it is? I'm always ready for looking to next year.
Here's what I say. They're out. So let's talk about it.
Let's go.
They are way too early, but a bunch of them are out already. Yeah. And here's where BYU sits in these way too early top 25s for basketball this next season. Hoops HQ has them at 13. Bleacher Report at 18. Fox Sports at 20, ESPN 22, On 3 at 23, and Field of 68 at 24. Almost every one that's out there, and there's a few others, has BYU in the top 25, as high as number 13. What are your way too early expectations for BYU, Shep? Is 13 too high? Is 24 too low? Do they not even deserve to be ranked?
No, I think they deserve to be ranked. And while this is not anything official, these are the way too early, you know, top 25 lists, I like the fact that BYU is in most of these, if not all of them. I think that bodes well, especially when you look at how the season ended for BYU, and obviously it ended a lot sooner than everybody anticipated. And I when I say everybody, I'm talking about the team themselves. You know, you lose, we assume, A.J. DeBonsa. I know nothing's been official, but I think we all anticipate that with him being the likely number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft, that he is going to move on. So when you lose that type of player, you lose Richie Saunders, you lose Kaba Kate, you lose some really big-time anchor players that have either been here for a long time or, obviously, in the case of A.J., made an immediate impact on a national level. The fact that BYU is probably not going to end up in the final AP top 25 poll, but are in these way too early ones, I think it bodes well for the way that BYU is viewed from a national standpoint, that in a short 2.5 years, that BYU is now viewed as one of these teams that can reload and be right back in the mix. I think that's that's a very positive thing for this basketball program.
I agree 100%. I think BYU's in a different place as far as national perception. I think they look and they go, hey, we respect Kevin Young as a coach and his staff. We respect BYU for the resources they're putting in. They can go get good players. Mm-hmm. They just got the best player in the world in last year's class, right? They've just landed another major lottery pick for next year that's coming in this year. So they just trust that, hey, they were in the Sweet 16 2 years ago. Barring injuries, and I blame it 100% on injuries, mm-hmm. BYU was absolutely a Sweet 16 team. And if they keep everybody healthy, if you don't lose Nate Pickens and Dawson Baker and Brody Kozlowski, and, oh, hey, let's not forget Richie Saunders, right?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
But think about that. No BYU team's ever lost four players of that quality and still got to the NCAA tournament. So I think there's an overwhelming change in the perception about BYU over these last couple years that, no, this is a nationally relevant, nationally competitive program that competes with resources, has great coaching, and we expect them to be a perennial top 25 team every single year. On good years, maybe a top 10 team, maybe they get to a Final Four. On bad years, at worst, they should be 25-ish or in that 20 to 25. That's the perception of BYU, and all these way too earlies is a representation of what that perception is.
Well, and the other part about this, and we talk about this, whether it's football season, basketball season, remember, so much depends on where you start in the initial top 25. And this kind of gives you an idea of where people think. Most of these are, you know, right in that 20 range, the low teens. I would not expect BYU to be maybe top 15, but I certainly between 15 and 25, I think BYU absolutely could start there. But again, I think it's a really good sign on how BYU is viewed from a national standpoint that they, even with the way the season ended and losing a player like AJ, that they are being mentioned as a top 25 team.
Yeah, amen to that. I think you're exactly right. I think 13 is probably too high. Based on what we know now.
Yeah. Yeah, right. We don't even know what this roster is going to look
when
like.
When the portal is opened, and let's say BYU all of a sudden signs one of the top bigs in the portal, a seven-footer that's a big-time player, now all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, 13's fine.
I like the way you're, the way you're thinking, Blaine.
Then they land a tremendous shooting, or a wing, another wing that can shoot it, and you go, okay, maybe this is a top 10 team.
Yeah.
So as of right now, they absolutely belong in the top 25. Do they belong at 13? Probably not. But let's wait till after the portal signings are done, and then I may change my mind, right?
Yeah, like you reserve the right to change your opinion.
Absolutely. But based on what they add to the roster. So, hey, BYU baseball heads up University Parkway to take on Utah Valley tonight as the Batcats look to get back in the win column. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Coming up next, BYU basketball radio analyst Mark Durant is going to join the show. We'll discuss BYU's biggest priorities in the transfer portal and what are his way too early expectations for the Cougars next season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
What's the baseline expectation for BYU men's basketball every season? I anticipate a top 25 team most seasons.
We hope special things happen with the portal with BYU.
Coming to you live from Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play alongside Blaine Fowler. My name is Jason Shepherd, and we are so happy to have our next guest. He is BYU basketball radio analyst Mark Durant and somebody who we will never allow to jump into the transfer portal. Mark, how are you?
I'm well, but you better pony up if you don't want me to jump into the transfer portal. You better get those big donors to open the checkbook, Jason, because I got a lot of interest, to be honest with you.
I will tell Greg to get the company card out and ready to roll.
That's good.
I heard that North Dakota State has been coming after him hard as their analyst. And the only thing between him being there and here, because they're offering big money, is that he just doesn't want to live in North Dakota. That's it. Other than that, he'd
Makes
be
sense.
There. So we got a match.
Yeah. Hey, North Dakota during basketball season is not the most appealing, I have to admit.
Hey, the transfer portal officially opened. Now, Xavion Staton entered his name into the portal. What do you make of his decision to do that? Did that surprise you?
Not really. I mean, he had a couple of games where he showed some promise. I think the UConn game, he, you know, he Cable was hurt. He came in and played some good minutes. But injuries and his development, just it's such a world nowadays where it's almost you can't have projects anymore, right? You used to be where, well, let's get a young guy with some athleticism and size and we'll work with him, and in a couple of years he'll be a real contributor. But it just seems like that's not the world we live in anymore, that you need players that can contribute and play and do good things for you immediately. And Xavion, great kid, but it just, you know, it seemed to be still a project with him. And so he'll probably find a great spot to do what he can do. And I think BYU will move on. But it's always sad when you get to know guys that and they move on. But that's the world we live in.
Mark, Blaine and I were talking in the last segment, and besides X jumping into the transfer portal, I think there's a chance we may see another three, possibly even four players put their names in. How much roster turnover are you expecting?
Well, I do expect several. I don't have any inside information. Sorry, Cougar Nation. But that's just, again, where we are, that almost every team is going to have a handful of players leave. It's, you know, this year we played against several teams that had no one back from the year before. And that's crazy. Completely new teams from year to year. And we'd have players that had played for five different teams already. And so it's frustrating. I think it alienates some fans. I mean, part of the great thing about college sports is you become invested in guys like a Richie Saunders. I mean, and he'll become more and more rare. But, you know, I don't have the answers on how to change that. I do think, to the extent that they could limit transfers, that would be helpful. But as it is right now, if you're not, like you were talking about, if you don't feel like you're going to be a big part of what the team is going to do the next year, or if you don't feel like you're being appropriately used, or perhaps money is being dangled in front of you, that it's so easy to transfer now that it's hard not to lose at least three or four people a year.
With that said, and all of us expecting a few more to go into the portal, we know what kind of the core is, and I think Kevin Young's made no secret. Hey, he wants to build around Rob Wright. Rob Wright made the statement, if I'm in college basketball, I'm going to be wearing a BYU uniform. So build around Rob. They have he's been named, but we don't name him here on this show, a big-time recruit that's coming, and that's a projected first-round draft pick next year to build around as well, along with Dawson Baker, who's likely coming back. So you kind of know the pieces you're going to have. With that in mind, what should BYU's priorities be in the transfer portal? What do they need to go out and get?
Yeah, well, I mean, you've talked about it. Everybody knows that I think the two biggest are shooters and a big man, an offensive big man. And if you look at the teams in the Final Four, the UConn and Michigan, obviously. Thank you, Michigan, by the way. I won enough money by that win to buy Jason and Fowler a milkshake.
So, oh, nice.
Nice.
I won my brackets thanks to Michigan, so thank you, Michigan. But they've got big men, obviously. And even look at Arizona in our conference, really caused a lot of problems with their big man. Texas in that first round, it was really the fact that BYU could not match what their big man was doing. So I think you need to have, in today's college basketball, real size at that position and the ability to score and be a threat down low. I think it put too much pressure on BYU shooters, on AJ this past year, not to have a real scoring presence. As much as I love Kaba, I mean, I can't remember a player I love more than Kaba, and so exciting, but he was undersized. And I just think to really compete at the highest level, you really have to have a good big man that can score down in the post for you. Then, of course, shooters. I mean, Richie was an elite shooter. I think Rob and AJ were good shooters, very good from three. But once Richie was out, it was kind of a barren wasteland beyond the three-point line for BYU. At times, you know, Moo could get hot or Kostic could get hot, but it really wasn't a dependable spot for BYU. So it's easy to say. I mean, everybody wants shooters. Everybody wants a good big man. But that's really where BYU is going to need some help. And Rob Wright, if he does come back, will need some help. Rob, I love Rob. I mean, he was a little overshadowed by AJ, but he is an amazing player. His ability to get downhill and his ball handling ability and to get in the paint and score. I mean, he could take over games. He's only going to get better. If we were lucky enough to have Rob right back, that is the key, awesome cornerstone piece for anything you want to build around. He's a spectacular player, and I'd love to see him back in BYU Blue.
Mark Durant joining us here on BYU Sports Nation. We were talking about the way too early top 25 polls that I think some outlets waited about 2 or 3 minutes after the national championship game went final to go ahead and look ahead to next year. What are your early expectations? And granted, we don't know what the roster is, but with what you maybe expect it to look like or what you can see right now, what are your expectations for BYU next year?
Yeah, well, I think those polls are helpful in one respect, because you really can't count on any particular player or players being around a program the next year. It's really more of a ranking of just the health of the programs and where they stand financially and with the coaching staffs and the administration around them. That those are the schools that are poised to have success in this day and age. And so, although we don't know who is going to be wearing the uniform, we know that the BYU uniform means something and has kind of arisen to some prominence in the country with their ability to recruit and the facilities and the ability to provide NIL to the best players and get the best players. So I think that's actually helpful to see that the national media and coaches, whoever is voting for these early polls or whoever's doing it, has some respect for BYU as a program and their ability to compete in today's college basketball world.
Mark, what does the long-term blueprint look like for BYU? If they want to be a consistent championship contender as they build rosters and they're like, it seems like you have to build one every year because of the transfer portal. Is there a blueprint that you would use that says, hey, this needs to be the priorities, this is how you have to build this thing if you want to compete every year?
Well, that's a tough question. Obviously, you have outliers, and Michigan's a team that brought in transfers to win their title. Transfers is always going to be a part of it. It's going to be hard to invest as much in freshmen as I would like in what I've seen historically, because it's a question mark. Even with the very best freshmen, it's a question mark. Whereas in the transfer market, you have some actual results on how players have done in their respective teams and leagues, and so it's harder to take that risk nowadays. So the transfer market is critical and will always be a part of it, unless there are some restrictions placed on it. But I think the best teams, like a UConn, who's had the best success of anyone over the last 10 years, they have a transfer market, but you have guys like Caravan that have been there the whole time, and there's a core, a nucleus that provides leadership and experience. Rather than having to develop brand new chemistry with 12 new guys every year, you have a core group that understands the coach's philosophy and the culture and can kind of be leaders for the rest of the team. So I think what you do is you find a couple guys that you want to be the core of your program, do everything you can to keep them, bring in maybe one or two really good freshmen, and then it's hit the transfer market to kind of fill in around those core players. Again, everybody wants to do that. It's easier said than done. But I think to have success, you need to have kind of everything. You can't rely on one thing or the other, can't rely completely on transfers, can't go by like Colorado and just go with the freshmen. But you have to have a mix of everything. And I think if you can do that, then you're ahead of the game in today's basketball.
Well, and the other part of the blueprint that you can't count on, because you never know how it's going to happen, if it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, is health. You got to be relatively healthy. And that's one of the biggest things that BYU just wasn't able to have throughout most of the season was a healthy roster. and enough guys to be able to utilize when you needed to maybe go to a bench guy or things like that. And again, that's just not something that you can always hope for it, but you just never know if this is going to be a season you're going to be dealing with injuries or if this is going to be a relatively healthy year. It's just not something you can ever predict.
Yeah, and obviously BYU had their more than their share of injuries, but a lot of teams had that. And really, you know, kind of the last teams left standing were the healthiest teams almost. So that's a big part of it. You know, that's kind of a roll of the dice, luck of the draw type thing. But, yeah, certainly I guess what you'd like in BYU's circumstance, even though they lost a lot of guys, is just to have a little bit more balance and depth. It was a unique team in that you had AJ and had to commit a lot of resources to him. But maybe part of the success formula going forward is rather than paying one or two guys a lot of money, and I don't get into that. I don't know how much people are paid or whatever, but rather get you know, six, seven, eight guys that you're paying a really good amount that maybe aren't the superstars, but that provides you some depth in the event you do have an injury.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah. So.
Mark, we appreciate the time. It's always great to talk with you. It's great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. I mean, the transfer portal is big news. I remember when Blaine went from the 8th ward to the 6th ward when he was a kid. That was big news.
It was.
Kind of started it all.
It changed church basketball forever. Is what it did. So, thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Good to have you on, brother.
Love you guys. You're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. BYU softball looks to snap their 4-game losing streak as they return to Miller Park to play Utah Valley. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Still on the way, where does AJ DeBonsa land in the latest 2026 NBA mock drafts? Oh, I love a good mock draft. Plus, an update on which BYU players have entered the transfer portal. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Shep. He is Blaine. Let's get to today's headlines, which are sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Let's start with the transfer portal has officially opened for men's college basketball and will stay open until April 21st. Freshman Xavion Staten enters his name into the transfer portal. He was the number 37 overall recruit in the 2025 class and played in 9 games for the Cougars this past season.
All right, BYU basketball was featured in multiple way too early top 25 polls from notable media outlets. Hoops HQ, which I believe is Seth Davis, by the way, had him as high as number 13. Bleacher Report at 18. Fox Sports at number 20. ESPN number 22. On 3 at number 23. And the Field of 68 at number 24. Of note, the final AP poll is expected to be released sometime later on today.
BYU All-American AJ DeBonsa was featured in multiple 2026 NBA mock drafts released over the last 48 hours. Here are a few of the most notable. Everybody pretty much has him number one.
As
right?
They so should.
CBS Sports has him number one. USA Today won. Sporting News won. Yahoo Sports won. Bleacher Report won. Not surprised at all. I think he has the most upside potential of anybody coming out of college basketball in the last several years.
Where they got this wrong, I agree with the number one. Where they got it wrong is they had the wrong teams. The Jazz will be getting the number one pick.
Jazz, he led the NCAA in scoring 25.5 points per game last season as a freshman.
How about Jane Hedengren, named the USTFC CCA Women's Athlete of the Week? I would say she earned that. Hedengren earned the award after breaking the NCAA record in the 10K by nearly 4 seconds at the Stanford Invitational on Friday.
She just shatters records.
She's so
unbelievable, is Jane. BYU baseball heads to Utah Valley tonight for a midweek non-conference game. Watch the live broadcast on ESPN+, or listen on the BYU radio at BYU Radio beginning at 8 Eastern time.
Also, BYU softball hosting Utah Valley tonight at Miller Park. The game will be broadcast at 8 Eastern. You can tune in to ESPN Plus and join Taylee Williams and myself.
Men's volleyball remains at number 10 in this week's AVCA poll after their sweep at Vanguard last weekend. Up next, BYU returns to the Smithfield House to take on number 4 USC this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
And women's golf tees off in Arizona for the Wyoming Cowgirl Classic. What? In Arizona?
Can't play in Laramie right
what?
Now.
What? What? BYU will tee off in rounds 1 and 2 today before playing round 3 tomorrow. All right, after the break, BYU quarterback Bear Bachmeyer details how he's improved as a player and leader this spring and where he expects the Cougar offense to be better this upcoming season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory.
All right, our early voice of the day is presented by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory. Comes from El Patino 12 on Instagram. Retain elite players and add other elite players. I like it. Sarcastic yet accurate. Thanks to today's guests, Mark Durant and Bear Bachmeyer, for Blaine. I'm Jason. Go Cougs.